Brian Tolan Show with Letterkenny Credit Union. Simplify your debts with a debt consolidation loan from Letterkenny Credit.
Welcome to back. I was so excited because I'm quite emotional. And the only way I can express my emotion sometimes is through song. And now the end is near. And so I face Katie is back. One second. No, that mic's not on. Which one is it? No, this one? No, it's none of them. Oh, well, that's just ruined my whole big thingamajig. Oh, yours is working, Michael. My ears. How are you getting on?
The wrong one.
Okay, and also with us is Maria Rush. You're back.
I'm here.
Good stuff. Great to have you here. And the most important person today, I can't hear them. Hello, Katie. One, two.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
You're quite low, though. So this is...
I feel like that was a bit of a passive-aggressive move. I don't know.
No, I just feel that I had thought on my feet, had a moment, and it's lost now. It's
well,
gone.
It was a nice thought.
So today is your last fling in Highland Radio.
Today is my very last day in Highland Radio. But you ever really leave Highland Radio, though?
Yes.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
You kind of take
When I'm gone, I'll never speak to any of you. I will never listen. I'm gone. Out of here. You're all going to be blocked. I'm going to block the Facebook pages, Twitter. Oh, my God, I can't
wait. And is that from today or from whenever?
When I go. Come here. Listen, how long have you been working at Highland now?
Over 6 years.
And I use the word work loosely.
I have been present in body in Highland Radio for just over 6 years.
Okay. Michael, you've worked with Katie quite a bit on the entertainment side. She'll be a big loss.
She will be a huge loss. But as it happens, we'll be in constant contact anyway because she is coming into my sphere of work.
So I use that term
work very loosely as well.
Chance. She hasn't started.
I'll see more of Katie than ever, which is great. Can't wait.
The Ever Studies, me and Maria, we're just here, man.
We're just here since 6 o'clock this morning.
I was here quiet at six. But anyway, yes, I take your point. Okay, so what are you watching at home? What are you doing for the weekend? What is your buzz? Maria, a couple of people asking where you're located. How do you get here? Okay, so this is not really quite entertainment, but this could be entertaining.
It is entertaining. We're a great crack all together. We are down in the Enterprise Fund Business Park in the Snenon. So if you're coming from the hospital, down to the roundabout at Mr. Price and just keep turning left and you'll find us.
Yeah.
And if you're coming in from Ballyrain, it's the same, in by Grove Furnishing and the Educate Together school.
Yeah, so it's right on the side of the road.
There's loads of parking and you'll see us from the road, yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, Katie, the Menendez Brothers documentary on Netflix. This is obviously coming off the back of Monsters, which was released, but also to a big press conference from family members there yesterday. Many of the family members saying, look, there's new information. Physical abuse, parental abuse is seen differently now than it was 30-odd years ago.
Yeah.
Things have changed. So what about this documentary?
So I decided to watch this rather than watch the dramatized version because I wouldn't be able to pick out what's truth and what's fact, or what's fact and what's fiction out of the dramatized version. So I always much prefer a documentary. It is a hard watch, there's no doubt about it. It, I think, was the first case, a murder case, where they actually allowed to have media cameras and stuff like that in the court. So it was an interesting watch. Like I say, there's some stuff that comes up in the evidence or the on the stand that's quite difficult to listen to. People will probably be make their own judgment when they're watching it as to what how much to take in and how much is may or may not be true. You know, like it's kind of one of those things. There's a court of public opinion there for sure.
There is. I think an interesting comment you made in that, you know, you watch the documentary because you wanted to be able to pick out what was truth and not truth. But the documentary, ironically, right, and the Monsters show wasn't very good, but the documentary comes from the brothers' perspective, whereas the show actually explores the possibility that the parents were hard done by, that they were actually loving, caring parents. So it's kind of interesting in that, in a way, the dramatization's a little bit more nuanced than the documentary.
Well, you could say that, because there
is...
Wow. Very mean to me today.
I'm trying to make sure you don't miss us too much, Katie. I don't want you to miss us too much.
You could say that, but on the other side of it, it does kind of clearly state, you know, the two brothers going off on a spending spree when the parents are after the parents die and that kind of thing. So it very much mentions all of that. And then it shows their testimony. So, like, really, you kind of have to make your own judgment based on how they present their evidence. Now, right enough, they don't show both sides, you know. There are interviews with some of the prosecutors and that kind of thing that where they kind of give their own opinion on it. So I found it to be something I didn't just automatically buy into, we'll put it that way.
But also, too, you have to factor in that these guys were, what, 21 and 18? They've been in prison for over 30 years.
Yes,
like,
indeed.
What is, I mean, is prison to rehabilitate people? Are they rehabilitated now? Have they paid their debt to society? You know, so even if you think that what they did was horrific, you might also have an opinion as to whether or not 30 years served plus is an adequate punishment.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I watched both, actually, and I thought it quite interesting. Monsters is it would be much better if it wasn't made by who made it, because he has his own style and stuff.
Yeah.
Are you across that story at all, Michael?
I remember it very well from when it originally came out, and I remember there was dramatizations back in... Oh, I remember it very well from the time when it happened, because, as we said before, it was around the same time as the OJ thing, and it was like a media event almost. If I had time, I think I would probably... I might go for the dramatization if I had a chance, but at the minute, I just won't get near it.
It is the best use of a song in ages.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned this before, Millie Vanilli's Girl, you know, Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You. It's used in the first and last episode perfectly.
Right.
You know, it's really interesting. Maria, have you got a chance to watch that at all?
Not yet.
Okay,
no.
Right, okay. So what are you giving the documentary out of 10, Katie?
It's difficult to say, because some of the content's quite difficult to watch. So I would say, in terms of actually informativity, perhaps maybe around a 7 out of 10. But it's definitely worth. I prefer that than to watch the dramatization version.
Yeah, yeah. I get you. Right, the Penguin, Colin Farrell. If you didn't see any of the stuff in advance, you might not know Colin Farrell was in it. Maria, what do you make of this show?
And that's exactly what happened to me. Himself there said, we're going to watch this tonight. Colin Farrell's in it. And I was like, sold, okay, that's fine. And about 20 minutes in, I said, when's Colin Farrell coming to? Not even joking. I think I had to pause the show to actually laugh. I didn't realise that's who I was watching. The makeup is phenomenal. I think it's taken between 4 and 6 hours a day for them to do it. But not only is the makeup phenomenal, he is brilliant in it. You know, he's so, so good. As his whole, the characteristic, the walk, he never steps out of character. I'm really enjoying it. We're
so
4 episodes in.
What is the story? What are we learning, or what's it about?
It's the Penguin, or Oz Cobb, and he has been the driver and always the lecky in the family, you know, of the Falcone family in, I suppose, Gotham or whatever.
Yeah.
But now that a few of the lead boys have been killed and died, he is taking his chance to seize the reins of the whole city, really. So he's playing people off each other. He's playing all the gangsters off each other. And then the other character, who's possibly the most impressive I've seen on anything in a long time, is Christy Milioti. She plays Sophia. Now, I'm not really familiar with her. I know she was in How I Met Your Mother,
yeah,
I think, and she was...
comedies and sitcoms.
She was a wife as well in... what was it? Wolf of Wall Street. She's in that as well.
Ah, okay,
but
yeah.
Not someone who's ever stood out to me, but I actually think she deserves every award going for her performance.
Really?
In this. Oh, yeah. She's brilliant. The last episode there on Monday night was hard to watch as well. Really quite difficult to watch, you know, very, very emotive, but so beautifully executed. The story is dark, it's gritty, there's lots of violence. It's typical, it's real Soprano level stuff, you know, it really is brilliant. And it's funny, if you like dark humour, it's funny.
And also, I found myself coming to the point that Colin Farrell's not in an awful lot of bad stuff. He's getting into a sort of a group of actors. Denzel Washington would be another one for me.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, for the most part, and others. Some women as well, by the way. They're just the names that come to my mind. that if he's in it, it's normally pretty good, and it seems this is another hit for him because
you were a big fan of that Sugar.
Sugar was a great show.
I actually want to see that before the Penguin.
But he's brilliant in it. Like, yeah, he's cool. Yeah. And,
he's brilliant in this. He really is. He's so good. I mean, and I'm honestly that stupid. I didn't realize that's who I was watching.
No, what I mean.
No, but who would? Like, no, you wouldn't recognize him. No, anyone who has seen even still images of him in makeup.
Oh,
no, Maria, nobody would recognize him.
I mean, I think the big takeaway from that story is Emmett pauses to laugh at you. I would just...
Greg, let me tell you, if Emmett didn't pause to laugh with me in life, we wouldn't be sitting here 10 years on today, I can tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I highly recommend. And I mean, it's received like 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it got 9.5 out of 10 for Monday night's episode. Mm. I highly recommend it. It's brilliant.
Brilliant stuff. And it's good enough that you're prepared to wait the week.
This is what I love about it. I love the fact that we have to wait a week. Otherwise, like this, there's a full generation who don't understand what it is to wait for an episode to come on, whereas us oldies love it.
Even if something drops all 8 episodes, I tend to just wait and watch them at the weekend or something.
I love it. Weird, Michael.
No, that is weird. That's weird. That's born from a person who has spreadsheets on what they watch. You know, Katie, have you watched this show at all? Were you thinking about missing me there? It looked like you were going, oh, no.
No, I haven't, but I do think Colin Farrell's an excellent actor.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things I've seen him in. Is it Horrible Bosses? Is that the one where they kind of completely change his appearance as well? He's also very good in a film called Hearts War. That's a much older one.
Oh, okay.
Greg Hoblet, I think, is the director of that one, and he was in it with Bruce Willis.
Okay.
That's a very good movie as well.
Brilliant.
But no, he is. I find him to be a kind of a good all rounder. Now, I can't really stomach him all the same. Is that terrible?
Who's that?
Colin Farrell.
Ari Janey, what?
I know.
Okay.
Maybe because I relate to him too much.
No, we have some questions coming in for you, Katie, as it's your last day here. Who is the who's the nicest person to work with at Highland Radio? Who was the nicest person? Quick fire questions.
Quick fire round.
Oh, God.
This is difficult because I technically don't work on the radio. Sorry, Katie.
It'd be a tie between you and Fionnuala.
Fionnuala.
I'm very, very, what's the word? A diplomatic.
Okay.
Yes.
It's all right. Okay. Just a question coming in here now. Who's the most handsome? Who's the most handsome person that works at Island Radio?
John Breslin. I'm joking.
Why are you
Greg
joking?
Hughes. Greg Hughes.
Why would you be joking about that? John's a very handsome man.
I know.
Well, why did you retract that?
Because I know. Because I could. Like, you're looking at me like, please say me.
I'll tell you one thing. I ask the questions the listeners want to know, and they asked who's the most handsome.
The correct and honest answer. Absolutely, Greg Hughes, hands down.
No, brilliant. Did you say pants down or hands down?
Hands down.
Right, sorry. I thought you said something else there. Right, okay. It is the 9 till noon show. It's That's Entertainment. We've got 3 fantastic guests. We've got Katie McGee, who very sadly, although we're very pleased with her career progression, but very sadly, this is her last day today. So great that she's here with us. We also have Maria Rush, who's a regular on this slot as well, and also hosting us here at Rush Fitness. Rush Fitness celebrating 10 years, and it's an open day today. It's open till 12. There's a lovely buzz around here. There's a hive of activity, and Maria's going to tell us after the break what all these people are doing here. But I just want to emphasize too, Maria, whilst it's an open day up until 12 today, the doors of this place are always open, and that's what we've spent sort of the last hour mentioning. You want people to come in, suck it and see. If it's for them, brilliant. If it's not, that's fine as well, but it's not just today that's an open day as such, if you get where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and if you get in touch with myself or Emmett, we will arrange, even if we can't, Declan will meet you to have a chat.
Yeah.
So there's.
And
yeah.
Your team is very specific, isn't it? Because you want, if you can't, or Emmett can't meet your clients or your future clients, you want them to have the same experience with the staff that you've assembled here,
which
as
is
well.
Why we do our CPD all the time. We have a great team. We have Declan, who you spoke to earlier on, as our main coach. We have Noreen is here, Noreen Lynch. Sophie is a little lady from Manchester who's here with us as well. And then we have Cahill, who's studying in the ATU, but he's here keeping everybody on their toes. So a great team. We're really, really lucky with the group we have around us.
Fantastic stuff. Okay, we'll be back with more from our guests live here from Rush Fitness in Lesnennen. So if you're coming down the Business Park Road from, I don't know where anything is, from a roundabout, a big roundabout, there should be yellow lines on it. There isn't. What's it called? Taft? Okay, so if you're coming down the road, past Mr. Price, it's on your left, right? So if you're coming down that road, you come to a roundabout and you just keep turning left and then the second turn on the right. And we're here with loads of parking while not called down. And if you're coming from Letterkenny, where they're about to cut down that oak tree, the next roundabout, go around it, out by Watson's, turn left, and here we are. Yeah, is that good? Who needs Google Maps? Okay, back with more after these messages. Much more here from Rush Fitness before noon, but really pleased to welcome on to the programme Luca Bloom, Irish folk legend. He's returning to the Sligo Live Festival in the Hawkswell Theatre on Sunday, the 3rd of November. A very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping?
It's an absolute pleasure to engage in my first ever Irish radio Zoom interview with you. It's nice to see you as well as hear you.
Fantastic. We are breaking new ground, and you sound and look fantastic, Luca. 50 years in the business, nearly 50 years in the business, 28 albums to date. I mean, what a record of work that you have, Luca.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I consider myself unbelievably blessed. I never could have imagined that at the age of 9, when I picked up my first guitar, or when I started writing songs around 13 or 14 years old, that at the ripe old age of almost 70, that I'd still be doing this, and I'd get to go and play in very exotic destinations like the Hawkswell and Sligo, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, but your body of work too is so diverse. You know, you've been able to do so many different things and excel in all of those areas, Luca. Why do you think you've been able to have such artistic license and such success in the different sort of endeavours you've undertaken?
Well, it's really kind of you to say all that, and I really appreciate it. I guess I've said to people many times that my concept of hell is a comfort zone. If I get too comfort listening to myself and I feel like I'm going through the motions, I know it's time to shake it up and to move on. And I will always, which is kind of challenging because it's just me and my guitars, so it is a challenge to move into other genres of music, for example, when it's just yourself and you're not working it out with a drummer, bass player and a keyboard player. It's like my guitars are my orchestras, and it's a lovely thing, though, to dive into other music, perhaps from North Africa, or dive into some jazz, or more recently I've been listening to a lot of old blues music and exploring these different worlds and seeing how I can make them, these pieces of music or songs, translate into original songs of mine. I love the exploring process.
So with all that, how do you then put a show together, Luca? Do you know what I mean? Because I'm not sure if it's quite like trying to pick amongst your children as to who might be the favourite. I find that quite easy, as it happens. No, I don't.
That'll get you in trouble.
I love them all equally. But no, how do you then fashion a show? Because, you know, there's so much, presumably, you want to pull into it, but it has to have a story, it has to have a theme, it has to have a sort of a soul of its own.
You're absolutely right. It's a really good point you make. I think at this stage of the game, you know, I'm rarely on TV. I rarely do much publicity of any sort. And yet there are some people who choose to still come and see me perform. What I mean by that is that, in answer to your question, I've kind of had to come around to accepting the fact that whatever it is I'm doing or singing, that people are coming to see me because they're curious to know what it is I've been at. So the honest answer to your question is I don't make out a set list. I decide as I'm walking on stage what the first song will be. And you're absolutely right. Every song has a story. Sometimes I say nothing about the song because I want the audience to be able to paint their own picture around the song. And other times the story is an integral part of what makes the song special. And so I like to talk to people and have fun with them.
Yeah, and I think really why people turn up, it's not just out of curiosity, Luca, if you forgive me for not contradicting you, but adding something to it. But there's certain artists of a certain caliber that I think there's things maybe that have been incidental in your life, right? Just a decision you've made, you move on, probably not even in your thoughts any longer, but it's had an impact on somebody else that's far more impactful and meaningful. And that happens an awful lot, you know. What's incidental to you can be incredibly significant to seat number 4 in row 5 in the Hawkswell in November.
This, what you're talking about now, is the great privilege of writing songs or creating art of any sort. because I have had the experience of people say to me, a certain song you wrote at a certain time, which might have been 30 or 40 years ago, was comforting to me during something I was going through. And I had a really interesting experience of that recently, where when COVID kicked off in 2020, I had a really busy year ahead of me with two albums, a live album and a studio album, and it all got cancelled the same as it did for everybody else. But being forced to be still and having to have that unplanned quiet time, it forced me to do something I never would have done in a million years, which is to create an instrumental album. I made an album of instrumentals called Out of the Blue in 2020, and I've been bowled over by the reaction I've gotten to it. And it would only have happened because of COVID. And I'm so grateful for that, and that I just had the time and was given the patience to do something. And there are a couple of tracks on that that have really resonated with people who were going through particular difficulties during that year.
I mean, Luca, you've no masters to serve, and you've got a body of work that anyone would be proud of. But I just wonder, is there something that you would like to do, or someone you'd like to work with, or I don't know, do you set yourself targets or ambitions, or have they all been met, or is your approach just completely different?
It's an interesting thing. In a certain sense, to do with career-wise, I'm almost completely bereft of ambition. And it's not because I don't care, and it's not because I'm not wealthy or because I'm bloody wealthy or something. It's nothing to do with that, because I'm not. And I really do care. But it's a peculiar thing. I love the way you said that. You have no master to serve. I kind of do have a master to serve, and that master is the next song. The master I have to serve is the next song. Wow. And I've only been writing instrumentals for the last couple of years, and I released a compilation album 2 years ago. But at the moment, I'm back in the realm of writing, and it's such a hugely important thing, partly because of what you said earlier. There's an added responsibility in writing when you realize that certain songs you've written have actually impacted on people's lives. That resonates with me, and it gives me a sense that you have to accept that, a fact that over the years, if enough people say that to you, there is always the possibility that something you're creating for yourself actually does have some value.
No, I think it's almost an inevitability. And finally, I'm not sure if you already had, but would writing a score now be, would you like to marry your music with a theatrical production, a film or something along those lines? Are you moving into that space?
In that regard, I've always been a huge fan of film and soundtracks, and I've always had the hope that someday, whatever about doing a soundtrack, that I would contribute songs to film. And I have written some songs for a film. Tragically, the inspiration always came after I'd seen the film.
I love it. So a director's cut with the Luca Bloom soundtrack that never was.
There's a lovely film called The Big Blue, which was out in 1989. It's about two free divers in the Mediterranean. And I wrote a song called Exploring the Blue after I'd seen the film. And I'm going to contact them now on the strength of this conversation and invite them to do a director's cut.
Or furthermore, can you imagine a show where you picked some of your favourite scenes from a film and you accompanied it with your own music? That would be wonderful. Listen, Luca, it's been wonderful speaking to you. Thank you so very much. We are all looking forward to seeing you in the beautiful Hawkswell Theatre as part of Sligo Lives Festival. I'll remind people as to how they can book their tickets, but it's been an absolute treat talking to you. Thank you so very much indeed.
It's been a great pleasure for me to meet you and speak with you and see you as well as hear you.
You're far too kind. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. We are at Rush Fitness, Lisnanan, Letterkenny, and you're invited to call in before 12. There's an open day here, and there is an absolute hive of activity. So it's part of That's Entertainment. We've got Katie, of course, we've got Michael, and we've got Maria. Maria, a great buzz in here. What's going on?
I don't know what's going on over there, to be honest. The members are raising money for us to buy a defibrillator for the gym. So our staff are all trained annually in first aid, but also CPR. And we've been meaning and trying to get a defib for the last while. And it's just something that we haven't. They're very, very expensive, as you know. So the members decided that as part of the 10th birthday celebrations that they would help So what they raise, we're going to match and buy a good quality defib, hopefully, that will be here. What's great about that as well, I suppose, for the local,
for the
Enterprise Park and the area, is that we're here from 6 in the morning until about 8:30 in the evening. So although there's a few hours during the day, maybe where there might just myself and Emmett in the office, the building generally is open. So at least if anyone does need it, it's here. And, you know, for, as a community here within ourselves, we have quite a few members with cardiac issues, Greg, who have... as Mary said earlier, we have people with stents, we have people with pacemakers, we have quite a few with conditions such as angina and people with heart disease. So it's given confidence to them, along with all the other things that we do to support that with the MyZone belts and the training. But it also, unfortunately, with heart disease, it's something a lot of us don't know we have until we're on the ground needing a defib.
Yeah.
So we're really, really proud of the members. And as you can see, look, they're keeping each other. I don't even know what they're doing over there. They're fanning each other down. And so one of the guys came in this morning at 7 o'clock, drove down from Strabane, cycled 20 kilometres and went to his work.
Yeah.
You know, so we're just, it's a bit of fun.
I mean, hands up who didn't.
Yeah, but this is it's very, very exemplary of the community we have here. Like, and we say we're going to do something, they're right behind us all the time.
But it also talks to the community, the social element of coming to this gym. Michael, let's go to the cinema, The Outrun. Oh, by the way, has any of you seen The Joker? Because you talked a little bit about
it. No, not yet, no.
Because it's been absolutely slated. But anyway, The Outrun, what's this about?
Yeah, the reviews for that. The Outrun is Saoirse Ronan's new movie, and myself and Fionnuala went along to see this on Sunday night. We had very different reactions to it. I'm a massive fan of Saoirse Ronan, haven't seen about 4 or 5 of her movies at this stage.
And then she has the barring order to prove them.
Fionnuala is not the biggest fan of Saoirse Ronan, and we had a healthy discussion about the film after seeing it. I have to say, this is my film of the year without any reservation.
Wow, that
absolutely blew me away. I was in tears from about the halfway stage. It's a true story.
It's
an emotional story, okay. It's based on a very highly acclaimed 2016 memoir. A young woman wrote about her time in London, where she became addicted to alcohol and drugs and other issues, and she needed to leave the city and go back to the Orkney Islands, where she was originally from, and set herself a path of healing. So this film is an adaptation of that memoir. They've changed the name of the main character to Rona, and they've sort of fictionalized it a bit. But it's basically a film that's completely carried by Saoirse Ronan.
Why is it so touching, Mike? I'm not digging deep.
It's the story of a fractured, broken human being who sets herself on a path of recovery by going to the remotest place she can go.
Yeah.
Not just the Orkney Islands, but an even more remote island off the Orkney Islands. Mm-hmm. She becomes interested in bird watching and interested in seaweed. It's a film where nothing happens, and I tend to really like those movies. But I'm in awe of this movie because Saoirse Ronan's incredible talent carries the story. You're invested in this woman. You do get to see flashbacks to her life in London. Yeah. And you begin to understand the path that she was on and how destructive that path was for her. So we get to see her attempt to heal herself. We see her on this healing path. I found it to be an incredibly emotional journey. I have to say, looking at the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, they were overwhelmingly positive. 81% of critics have praised the movie, and they have praised her performance and the emotional journey she takes you on. I think if you have a heart at all, you'll get invested in this young woman.
And what was Fionnuala's reaction? You said it was different.
She wanted bad things to happen to this character all the way through.
I refer you to your previous statement.
I know. I was thinking of that. We even got chatting to some gentlemen who were sitting beside us, and Fionnuala's comments were not kind at all.
But you know what? I've often talked about how much I've enjoyed a film dependent on my own sort of state of mind at the time.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds like a film that you need to be...
In the mood for. I completely agree. I was definitely in the form for something serious on Sunday night, and it was excellent. I cannot recommend it enough. I think this is Saoirse Ronan's Oscar win.
Okay, will someone give me a yee-haw? Good morning, Victoria. How are you? No, 1 second. Let's start again. Good morning, Victoria Wilson. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. We're live here from Rush Fitness, and you are. Give us a swing. Show us around you there with the camera. Can we get a sense of what's going on?
So we are live here in Rafoe in Wilson's farmyard. We're currently just setting up for tomorrow night's barn dance. So this is the shed, and then we have our marquee, which is out here then as well. And it's a big L-shaped marquee with a brilliant dance floor. And also your stage.
What
there
a setup!
As well.
I've talked about this a couple of years, Victoria. I never actually realised it was set up as it is. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, so we had this event 6 years ago now on the home farm here in Rafoe, and we came together as a family just at the beginning of the summer and thought, can we do it again? And lo and behold, 19th of October, we are hosting it again. So we have lots of help here on site today getting ready, but it's for four fantastic causes. So we're doing it for the Bumbalins this year, the Donegal Hospice, and then two local clubs here in Rafoe, the Rafoe Community Playgroup and the Rafoe Football Club as well.
Now, tonight, between 6.30 and 8.30pm, there's a very special event, isn't there? It's the Children's Barn Dance. This is free for people to come to, but wow, kids are going to love that.
People. Yeah, so just thought, because it's for the two local clubs here in Rafoe, and then for the Bumbalins as well, we just thought we'd like to do something for the kids, as tomorrow is an adults kind of only event. So there'll be face painting, and there will be lots of actual arts and crafts, and there'll be football, penalty shootouts, and lots of dancing as well.
And it's all covered. It's a massive space, but it's all inside.
All
you've got
covered,
that shed
all
and the marquee.
Inside,
yeah.
No chance of getting rain poured on you tonight or tomorrow night anyway.
Brilliant stuff. Now, children going tonight must be accompanied by a parent or guardian for the whole event, so you can't drop them off and head for a meal, folks.
No, unfortunately not. And, it's a great event for parents, too. It'll be nice. There's tea and coffee and all of that for parents.
Now, I know you can get tickets through Eventbrite in advance. Are tickets available if people turn up this evening? I know it's a free event, but I presume it's to keep
so
track of numbers and stuff.
Yes, so there is limited at four, but we do recommend that you do get an Eventbrite ticket, as just we do have a capacity and when you get to the door. Also with tomorrow night, we do recommend that you do get your tickets early, and also there will be lots of music, and Paul Kelly tomorrow night is singing beforehand as Megan Lucas on the stage as well.
Okay, tickets for tomorrow night. Now, tonight is free. Tickets for tomorrow night, €25. All proceeds going to Bumbalance, the Donegal Hospice, Rafoe Community Playgroup and Rafoe Town Football Club. If you want to find out how to get your tickets, the best way to go, I would suggest, because you can get information too on the events, is go to Wilson's Charity Barn Dance Facebook page. The link for Eventbrite for tonight and for tomorrow is there. Yeah. And it's going to be...
Just in relation to the parking for tonight's event, it will be here on the home farm in Rafoe. But then for parking tomorrow night, we're asking people to park in Rafoe Town, in the Mart car park. And there is a shuttle bus that will bring you out to the yard here for tomorrow night's event.
Well done. Come here. Have a fantastic time.
Thanks, Greg.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. Okay, so that's a note for your diary tonight for the younger ones and for tomorrow. Right, let's get to some of your texts coming in so far this morning. Hi, gorgeous Greg. Well, you see, I could just leave it right there. That'll do me. It's Kevin in Dunlow.
You're welcome.
Hi, gorgeous Greg and the Groovy Gang. Sadly, we will miss Katie, okay, and her hearty laugh. But there's always room for a Zoom. Has anyone seen Substance with Demi Moore? The end was certainly something you'll never expect to see on screen. I believe Margaret Qualley is Andy McDowell's daughter. Ironically enough, Demi Moore was on the Graham Norton show, and he looked like Courtney Cox and far younger. I actually was watching that with the sound off, and I actually believed also that Demi Moore was Courtney Cox, because I wasn't watching it, and I was like, wow, okay. But anyway, that show is an interesting one. I haven't seen it. Joe's seen it. He says it's good, but it's a bit where? It's a bit where? Is it a bit... Very graphic. Very graphic. Okay. Right, have you seen it? No? Okay, you haven't seen it, Maria?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Let us see. Right, I'm going to take this break now, and then what that means is it kind of clears the decks then for us for the last part of the show. We'll hear more from Katie, from Maria, from Michael and from you. Okay, Katie's with us. Hi, Katie. Hello.
Hello.
How are you getting on now? So we're into the last 13 minutes.
Yeah, of the show. Yeah,
of the show. What time do you finish it today?
5 o'clock.
Because Katie's worked with us for 6 years, and this is her last day, and we're all terribly sad to see her go.
Yeah, it's not an easy place to walk away from. You know, some friendships made there over the years and whatnot.
Who have you handed the Moaner baton to?
The Moaner baton
to? Yes, who's getting that baton?
Do I need to answer that question, or do I have to answer that question?
No. Come here. Let me see. Let's think what someone can watch tonight. The Intern on Netflix.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway, Rene Russo, Robert De Niro, three fine actors.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, this is an older one, right? It was released in 2015, but I kind of feel like maybe it doesn't get the credit it deserves. Like it's a heart. It's funny, but it's also kind of heartwarming and a gentle watch, as I would say. But Robert De Niro plays a character who's recently lost his wife, so he goes back to this. He decides to go back to work after he's retired. So he goes to do this internship with an online fashion company. And it's basically about the relationship between him and the CEO of the company, who's this young woman. Not a romantic relationship, just like a friendship, which is kind of refreshing. And it is, isn't it?
Know,
like, you just know
just
it's not going to go that way.
I know, yeah.
but it's kind of like two different generations kind of meeting one another. And what they learn from each other and that kind of thing. So it's actually really, really nice. It's a lovely film, and there is some good comedy in there as well. So yeah,
brilliant.
I would recommend it. I just don't feel like it kind of ever kind of took off at the time.
Yeah.
And it's with the cast and everything, I do find it to be a really, really lovely watch.
I think it's found its space there now on the streaming platforms. Yeah. Maria, Rerush Fitness, what's the younger age limit, asks a listener. Sorry, one second. I don't have your mic up. Go ahead.
So we are over 18s. Now, we have had 17-year-olds in the past, but they have to train with a parent or guardian with them in the sessions. Mm. So generally, we're over 18s. Our average age here is 45 to 50. You know, we have, I think, our youngest member is probably in her early 20s.
Yeah.
And then it's up as far as our Kathleen, who you spoke to earlier, at 75.
Yeah. So. People texting in saying, I'm watching, I can't believe she's 75.
She's unreal, yeah. She's unreal.
Can you please put on a request at some stage for Katie McGee, wishing her all the best on her last day at Highland, from Leona, Kieran, Josh, aww, Shannon and Louis? Katie, I wish Katie all the best. Such a lovely lady. Sorry to see her go. From Pius. Hi, Greg. Apparently the Rory Gallagher guitar is staying in Ireland, donated by a buyer to the National Museum of Ireland. Yeah, we'll probably touch on that, because that is a story that we've carried. Okay, there's a bit of a lull here, Maria. I take it they're having a break before they got back to raising money for this defibrillator. All right, ladies, come on, back on the bike. Come on now.
We have to get you on the bike now for a wee while.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Well, wait till you get the defib first. Let's not put the cart before the horse. God forgive me. But anyway, people know I'm joking. Playing on Netflix, Jared Butler. It's something about him when I see his face in a poster that I recoil. I don't know why. It's not his physical appearance. It's just, what's this film about? Is it any good?
Do you know, it's nonsense. It's utter nonsense. If you're looking for something to not have to think too much about, it's great. I made the mistake of watching it 2 weeks ago, the night before I flew to the UK.
Why do we do that to ourselves?
But I'll tell you, if I was getting on a plane and Jared Butler was flying it, I don't think I'd care if it crashed, because he's going to save me anyway. You know, it's fine. It's going to look after me. He's one of those actors that if he's in it, I'm watching it. Like, it's going to be a different version of the same thing every time, but he's lovely and he's great and he's gorgeous and he saves the day. And yeah, he was.
And he's been in those London Is Falling films.
Oh, he's brilliant in those. Yeah. That whole series is fantastic. But he has a new one coming out as well. I can't remember the name of it now. Anyway,
himself
will give out to me. But no, a plane is. It's along the lines of Final Destination. You know, the plane. The plane's going to crash, but he ends up dealing with. Rebel groups on the island that take all the passengers, and then he has to depend on the convicted murderer who the FBI were transporting on the plane. That's who's going to
save the day.
Is he going to help him? Is he not?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's mindless nonsense.
So
but it's
kind
less
of like
than
back
2 hours.
In the 90s, these would have been. There's nothing wrong with them. They would have been direct to video.
I missed
they would have been direct to video.
Yeah.
Video
but I missed
yeah, and it's less than 2 hours. Yeah.
They're great fun. They're great fun.
Good fun.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you want, isn't it, sometimes?
That's it. And another mindless one, if you're looking for something else silly over the weekend, is Jackpot, which is there's a lottery in California that it's billions and billions of dollars. When your ticket is called out, everybody else in the city has 24 hours to kill you, and whoever kills you gets to take your money. So it's got like Lord of the Flies going on with Hunger Games. It's just it's violent and it's bloody and it's gory, but it's great crack.
Great fun. Right,
it's great fun. Stuff. Yeah.
You mentioned Final Destination there in passing. I can't remember which one of the platforms had it, but they had like 1 to 5, and I watched them all, and they're not terrible films, you know.
They're actually okay. The first one scared Fionnuala off horror films for life for some reason. But they're actually okay. They're fine.
They are what they are. Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. Best of luck, Katie. Thanks for everything over the years from Kira. Okay. Hi, Greg. Could you please congratulate Emmett, Maria, and all the team in Rush Fitness on the 10-year anniversary? Enjoy the celebrations from everyone in the Silver Tassie.
They've been brilliant for us, yeah.
Right, and I think I'm up to date on those. They're coming in as we speak. Michael, a quick pod for us. The Girl in the Letter RTE podcast.
Yes. This is one that was actually on my list for ages, and I finally pulled the trigger on it a couple of weeks ago. It's a story of a guy called John Richards. John Richards is a man in his retired years in his 70s, and he set about looking for a girl that he read about many, many years ago. His father had left the family when John was a young man, and he had been in England, supposedly sending money back to the family through the 1960s, but he did not return or keep in contact until John was in his 20s. When the father returned, sent a letter home about coming back to his wife and family. He did come back, and one of the things that came out of that return to Ireland was a letter that John saw, which implied that his father had a child in England, a young girl in the 1970s. So various things are dealt with in this. It's very enjoyable documentary podcast as regards John's life and whether or not his father stayed with them. But one thing that he left unresolved all through his life was that girl that was mentioned in the letter. And now in his 70s, he decided to find out if he had a sister out there in England that he had never met, or a half-sister.
Oh, wow.
So we basically follow his story. The documentary people get his story as it goes to the genealogy people, as he goes to those people trying to track down a potential sister. And it's a very strong, very good story. It's told over 45 minutes.
Brilliant.
We get to hear John talk about his life, and we get to find out what ultimately happens. And okay. I would recommend it. It's a very straightforward story, but it's like, it's a heartwarming story, and I do recommend it.
Katie, we're going to miss you. You know, it's been lovely having you around Highland for the last 6 years. You are a wonderful spirit, and you bring a lovely, I don't know what you bring to it, but it's very nice. It'll be very sorely missed. You won't be replaced in any way in terms of your personality and what you bring and all that kind of stuff. Always happy-go-lucky. You do anything for everyone. And it's very sad to see you go, but your next employers, it's their gain, and it's great for you. I think it's good for you and your career, but we're going to miss you an awful lot.
Thank you very much. I will miss everybody, but I don't think you will get rid of me that easy.
I'm not getting a
Listen, you know, I text Caroline at about 7 o'clock this morning going, if I start crying, I won't stop. So I'm trying my best to keep it all on the inside, but I can assure you it's not an easy day.
Yeah,
I can say
of course,
that.
But I mean, you've got hopefully lots of great memories and friends for life.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like, and I think that's kind of... There's a part of me that sort of feels like I'm not going anywhere, and I think that's why, because there's so many people, and that's all I'm going to say.
No, that's okay. Now listen, and on behalf of all the staff, we're going to miss you very, very much, Katie. You know that. They're tears of joy as well, too, aren't they? Right, Michael.
Yeah.
Bye bye. We'll see you again next week.
It's great fun, as always.
Maria, thank you so much for hosting us down here. It's been really lovely coming down. It's always a pleasure. There's such a positive vibe down here, and it's open for people to enjoy. And Katie, I didn't mean to upset you. It's just we're really going to miss you, okay? You understand that, don't you?
He nearly upset me too. He's horrible, isn't he?
No. It's just
horrible.
For this past hour, you've been trying to break me, and you did it, so congratulations.
I could have said all the nice things about you at the beginning. Okay. No, I could have. I didn't want to upset you because it's all genuine. Okay, we're gonna miss you so much. Okay, Maria, thank you so much for and Emmett and all the team having us down here. It's okay. The open element of it's drawing to a close, but the doors are always open for anyone who wants to come down and sample what's going on here and see if it's a good fit for them. And just I think we got the point across that. It's a gym. It's not what you might have in your head as a gym if you've not been here. It's personal, but it's a group, and it's for all.
Well, fitness is for everybody, and aging healthily is what we're looking for people to do. So thank you very much to everybody for being here. And I'm going to congratulate Emmett myself as well, because obviously he started the business. I'm just here for the parties, you know. I just
oh, come on. You're doing
so,
yourself
very
a disservice.
Proud of him. Very proud of him. Yeah.
And rightly so. Rightly so. Thank you so very much indeed. Big round of applause. Anyone yet? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. We'll be back in studio at 9. Stay tuned. John Bredson's up around the Northwest.